Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May the 5th. And thank you for your contributions during our just concluded spring membership drive. The short drive was a success. You helped us raise $149,000 to balance our books this fiscal year and to continue bringing you the programming that you value. State lawmakers and Governor Doyle did not come up with a deal to balance the state's books late last week. We'll wonder if a deal is near or far during this segment of our State Capitol Report. Plus, we'll get a recap of other news in state politics for the next 20 minutes or so with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter, and we will welcome your questions for Sean at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And Sean Johnson joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
So there was a meeting last week, I see here, a secret meeting, according to the wires, on Thursday with the governor and legislative leaders, but no deal on the budget shortfall problem?
Yeah, no deal. And really, there have been a lot of meetings between legislative leaders or their staff over the past month or so to talk about how we're going to deal with this budget shortfall. And they've all been secret. So, you know, we're kind of left to speculate as to what they're talking about. I mean, we have some inkling just from their public comments and, news reports, but it's all private.
Yeah.
This was one that the governor called and a personal meeting with Senate Democratic Majority Leader Russ Decker and Republican Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch. Called him into his office, and it sounds like the general sentiment of this meeting was that we got to get a deal done fast, because on that same day, the governor came out with a letter to legislators and said, look, basically by August, we're going to have such a deficit in the state's general fund, which is basically, think of it as the state's checkbook, we can no longer do these temporary fixes of moving money out of other funds to sort of keep things fluid, and we're going to be out of money.
Yeah, and this is going to delay or hurt the state payments to schools and local governments.
Schools, local governments. The governor, by law, would be forced to start, setting up the delays or reduced payments at that point. These would be the types of things that might have to be reviewed by the Joint Committee on Finance. But that would be a scenario I would think everybody would want to avoid, and certainly the one that the governor wants to avoid.
Yeah.
And that was part of the message that he had for legislative leaders last week.
We have to make some hard choices, but the choices aren't going to get any easier if you wait around, day after day and week after week. So it's time to get this done.
So how come that meeting only lasted 45 minutes then and there was no resolution?
Yeah. If they were close to a deal, and I mean, this is speculation, but I would think if they were close to a deal or if they were really hammering out a deal, they would have been in there a little bit longer. But it was 40, 45 minutes, just the speaker and the majority leader. And, they didn't really have much to say afterward, but they talked to members of the press that were waiting outside the governor's office after the meeting. Here's Speaker Hipsch.
I think we had a very good conversation. The three of us had a chance to get together and discuss the budget that was before us, and obviously with Secretary Morgan's letter, we see the consequences that are out there. And based on that, we all came to a very real agreement that we need to resolve this soon. And so while there are still differences, we're still going to work through those and try to get to an answer very quickly.
And Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker.
Yeah, these are pretty tough situations we're in right now, and this is not... These are not games. This is serious consequences. So we need to get something done, as the speaker said, and do it where we can get it through the Senate and Assembly and on the governor's desk.
Yeah, I did see a news report that said that maybe this wasn't going to come to any resolution until after the November elections.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's speculation, yeah. Really. You could look at that a couple ways. No resolution, meaning they don't reach any deal. That would be probably the worst case scenario for all parties involved. I think it would be bad for incumbents. So that would be, these lawmakers that are running for reelection would have to go on the campaign trail saying, we didn't deal with one of the biggest issues facing the state, and you know, sort of left it for the governor to deal with in making cuts. That would be kind of a tough message, or a message you might not want to sell on the campaign trail. But another way of looking at it is that they're not going to resolve any of the permanent issues with the budget until after the November elections, which is probably accurate. It has been for a long time, and that they're going to look, they're looking at a number of short, you know, one-time fixes to this budget hole that are going to leave you with a similar budget hole in the next budget.
For example, the governor was asking for another transfer of transportation money, was he not, to try to fix the budget hole?
Yeah, I mean, that's an example of sort of a one-time cash grab where you take money out of the transportation fund, nearly $300 million, mm-hmm. and to backfill it or to fill the hole you created in the transportation fund, which is you know, funded by the gas tax, among other sources. The governor called for borrowing more, issuing more bonds. So it's a situation where you're going to, it's not an ongoing source of revenue, and down the road, you're going to have to pay off that bonds. And so that's something that would have taken a huge chunk of this budget shortfall the state faces. But legislative leaders, Republican and Democrat, have both said they don't want to do that.
We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, who is recapping the week in state politics for us during this segment of our State Capitol Report. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this budget shortfall and other news in state politics from the past week. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report. Coming up after 7:30, we'll welcome in a state senator who wants Wisconsin to have a photo ID law. That's following the U.S. Supreme Court ruling last week saying it is constitutional to ask voters to show a photo ID at the polls. Our guest, Senator Mary Lozick, says, what is Wisconsin waiting for? And we will welcome your thoughts about that after 7:30. Right now, we're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, who is recapping the week in state politics for us. And Sean, the author of Wisconsin's photo ID legislation did want the governor to call some sort of extraordinary session to take this issue up following that Supreme Court ruling last week.
Yeah. Jeff Stone, the Republican assemblyman who's authored some kind of photo ID legislation for at least the past few sessions, the latest form that he's tried it in has been this constitutional
That's
amendment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To get a constitutional amendment, you have to have it passed by consecutive sessions of the legislature. So it passed last session when Republicans controlled the Senate and the Assembly. This session, it passed the Republican-controlled Assembly, but Stone's proposal died in the Senate, where Democrats are now in control. And so he wants Democrats to come in, basically, and pass his bill so it goes before voters. It's not going to happen, but this is something, this Supreme Court ruling is something that he was happy with because he feels like it bolstered his cause.
You know, what this decision says to me is that the Supreme Court agrees with what we've been saying all along, that this is constitutional. It's not something that's an undue burden on people, and it won't restrict people's ability to cast a ballot.
Yeah, he wanted to put this in a constitutional amendment or proposed constitutional amendment form because the governor's
vetoed it in the past, right? And that's no signs that that's going to change. Doyle and other Democrats oppose this plan in principle. I don't think that the argument I don't think it really ever hinged on, well, if it was constitutional, we'd pass this. I think just in principle, Democrats don't like the idea of a photo ID because they feel like it's going to drive down turnout. It's likely going to drive down turnout among Democratic voters more than among Republican voters. And they say it's going to disenfranchise a number of people who don't have a driver's license and therefore, you know, won't be going to the polls.
Yeah.
So in practice, while you know, it would leave the option open for everybody to go get a driver's license, in practice, seniors may not do it. and poor people may not do it.
Yeah, so no extraordinary session is likely to happen here.
No.
Yeah, and with the current makeup of the state legislature, this proposed constitutional amendment is likely not to pass both houses.
Right. It'll. I mean, it will basically die this year. It really is already dead because you know, nothing's going to happen. And so if they want to do this, if Republicans want to pass this, they need to basically start all over again next session. And, you know, it all depends on the makeup of the legislature.
Well, that's not going to stop us from talking about it in our next segment anyway.
Yeah, way to bill it, right?
Yeah. We're gonna talk whether or not we want Wisconsin to have a photo ID bill, a law that requires voters to show a photo ID at the polls, coming up after 7:30. Right now, we welcome your questions for Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, about all things political in the state of Wisconsin. Already talked about the stalemate or the ongoing stalemate over the state's $500 million budget shortfall. No agreement reached yet as to how to fix that shortfall. The other issue that's been out there, Sean, is this Great Lakes Compact. The governor called the legislature into special session to pass this. And are we going to have this, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, well, before what we heard is that the thing that was holding it up is that it's a complicated bill. And, you know, everybody I talked to about the delay, whether they were a proponent or had sounded like an opponent in the early stages, they all said that, look, we have a deal. It's just they're drafting it. It's a complicated bill. I want to get all the amendments put together. And that was what's holding it up. But now there was a report last week in the Journal Sentinel suggesting that lawmakers might put the budget and the Great Lakes Compact into one bill. Mm-hmm. So not only would they be taking them up in one session, which is what a lot of people speculated they would do, but they would tie them together. So if you want to vote for this Great Lakes Compact, that in many areas is going to be very politically popular, and a lot of lawmakers are going to want to cast a yes vote on that, they would also have to swallow what might be a less popular budget full of one-time fixes, you know, possible tax increases, depending on how you view it, raids of funds, whatever. There's any number of possibilities of what could be in this budget bill that aren't going to be too popular. Mm-hmm. And so to get the votes for that, there's speculation that they might tie them together. So it sounds like this is just something that they were talking about. Just the talk of it was not very popular among lawmakers who were not in that conversation, like Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Jim Cruiser.
And now we have a budget repair bill that's not ready for prime time that they want to mix with the Great Lakes Compact, and I think that's awful. And my members think it's awful, and my phone has been ringing off the hook from my members saying that is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, so that's probably not going to happen then, or will it?
You know, if you listen to Cruiser, he went on in that conversation to say that if they do present it in this way, that we won't have a budget this year. We won't have a budget fix because, you know, he feels like they're going to need his members' votes in this, you know, narrow. There's just a narrow Republican majority in the Assembly, and to pass the budget last time around, they needed a number of Assembly Democratic votes. He feels like they're going to need that again, and his members don't want that. So that kind of sets up a tough situation for that.
What does Cruiser care anyway? He's doesn't he want to be Kenosha County's executive?
Right. Yeah, he's on the way out. Well, he's still got to represent the views of his members until they have a new leader.
And just briefly on that, we have a number of state legislators who have said they're not going to run again. So there's going to be a lot of seats up for grabs in the fall.
Yeah, there's not only lawmakers that are retiring, but lawmakers that are retiring in what you'd say contested districts or districts that will be contested because they've changed since that lawmaker was first elected. You know, for example, Steve Wickard up in Appleton. He's been had good success getting elected and reelected up there, but because of the demographic changes and because they know Republicans are no longer running an incumbent up there, it's going to be tougher for them to hold on to that seat.
Well, I want to talk more about that, including another news event affecting the northeastern Wisconsin area. But first, let me take a caller. Jody in Cassville. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm just wondering, I mean, it's pretty clear in my simple mind that they can't just, I mean, they have to raise more money somehow. They can't just keep transferring money from one pot to another to fix this, and our schools can't cut anymore, and the local governments, you know, and the referendums and stuff that have been passing, you know, if you read the paper, it's every week there's another school that's in trouble. And I'm just wondering if there's ever been any rumblings at all about maybe raising the state sales tax or something, just to help and to hit, you know, everybody, including tourists and stuff that come to our state.
Yeah, thanks, Jody. I know yeah. I've heard that
yeah,
before.
I mean, Jody's right. To fix mm-hmm. these problems long term, you either have to cut spending and, you know, reduce what you're spending, or you have to find a long-term source of revenue. And a sales tax increase would be one of those. But every time a sales tax or the idea of a sales tax increase or an income tax increase is whispered at the Capitol, it's, you know, quickly quelled because the idea of yeah. raising taxes is, you know, at this point, politically unpopular. There have been some Democratic lawmakers who have floated the idea when they were talking about changing the state's school funding formula to mm-hmm. move away from a reliance on the property tax and more on a sales tax. But that hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll maybe explore some of those other issues in a future state capitol report. But let me ask you about something we learned last week on Sunday, that there will be a rematch in Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District.
Right, involving a former state lawmaker. Former Republican Assembly Speaker John Gard has announced formally, not a big surprise, but he's going to challenge Congressman Steve Kagan to a rematch. And this was one of the most watched, contested races throughout the country last year. Mm-hmm. Gard is going to give it another go, and he says this time's different.
But I think the biggest difference is Steve Kagan has a record, and he has promised a lot of things and under-delivered. He has said a lot of things back home, but voted a lot differently in Washington.
And a Gard's message is similar to one you're hearing on a national level where, you know, Democrats said they were going to do all this stuff for you, but, you know, gas prices are up, healthcare costs are up, et cetera. To which Democrats have responded, you know, put us back in power so we can finish the job. It's kind of hard for us to get stuff mm-hmm. passed when we have a Republican president that will veto everything.
Well, okay. We'll invite both of those candidates on our program in the future to talk more about that. We only have a minute before news time, Sean. You say there's not a lot of scheduled events going on at the state capitol this week, except people will be watching movie stars there, huh?
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. if you can get a look at it. They were shooting Public Enemies at the Capitol mm-hmm. last Friday night and sort of had the building locked down. But it was my understanding they were going to shoot some outside scenes. And if they didn't do it yesterday, I know all the trailers and equipment for the movie were still at the Capitol last night. They'd be doing it this morning.
Yeah, you didn't see Johnny Depp or Christian Bale?
No, I haven't. I heard Christian Bale might be around, but I haven't seen him.
Well, it's a nice day. I'll take a walk over there maybe. All right.
Sure.
Thanks very much, Sean, for being
here. Thank you.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We'll talk about photo ID after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Monday, May the 5th. And this is our state capitol report. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Indiana's photo ID bill is constitutional, that it's legal to ask people to show a photo ID of themselves before they cast a vote. We will talk with a state senator in this half hour who wants Wisconsin to put such a law on the books, and we wonder if it's what you want, too. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We are happy to have with us Mary Lazick, who is a Republican state senator from New Berlin, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, we saw your column, your newsletter that you sent out last week saying, following this U.S. Supreme Court decision, what is Wisconsin waiting for? So you think Wisconsin should put one of these laws on the books, too?
Yes. Yes, Joy. We've been, well, the Republicans have been trying unsuccessfully for a couple sessions now to get a voter ID law on the books in Wisconsin so that voting would be fair and that public confidence would be restored in Wisconsin. There's a lot of skepticism, a lot of uneasiness about voter fraud, and the voter ID does two things. It reassures that public confidence because it eliminates eliminates to the great degree, assures as much as possible that voter fraud is not taking place, and yet it does not disenfranchise because under HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, there is provisional balloting. So anyone that shows up doesn't have identification but wants to vote is permitted to vote on a provisional basis and has time to establish that it is a legitimate vote. So yeah. No one's denied the opportunity to vote.
Yeah. Let's go back to the voter fraud issue. The critics of voter ID say that this is a solution looking for a problem, that this kind of voter fraud is not a problem in Wisconsin.
Well, clearly in the November 2004 elections, both U.S. Attorney Steve Biskupic and Milwaukee then DA Michael McCann found a number of things. They found individuals voting twice with phony names or dead people names. They found that 200 felons voted illegally. They found that the votes counted exceeded the recorded votes by more than 4,600. I mean, clearly there were some problems there, and whether it was chaos, you know, whether it's legitimately approved, whether it amounts to nothing, you know, there's just no reason to have that type of, you know, that type of election activity. And I will tell you, too, Joy, what really convinced me is I served on the committee that went around the state in the last session of the legislature and took testimony on a voter ID bill. And consistently at the places in the state, we were in Eau Claire, we were in Green Bay, we were down in Racine, all of these areas, Madison, the clerks that work at the elections, the municipal clerks as well as the poll workers, overwhelmingly came in and said that they wanted it. And their testimony amounted to, you know, these are people that many volunteer, you know, a lot of retired people volunteer to work the polls. They come in, they work a very long day. You know, they're there before 7 in the morning, it goes till after 8 at night. And they want integrity, and they want the work that they do to be accurate and to mean something. And when an individual comes in, they're working with, you know, many people from 18 on up that come in and want to vote. And when they're given an identification that shows the spelling, the address, it helps them to do their job and, more importantly, gives them the confidence of accuracy because they see a written document versus trying to communicate with many people of many ages through a very busy day. When they do this on volunteer, they maybe don't work every day anymore. They're retired, so they're not accustomed to the rigors of a 12, 14-hour day. And those workers really convince me that they're the ones doing the work for us here in Wisconsin. And when they feel that strongly about it, that they want to do a good job and they want to be given the tools to do a good job, that really convinced me that, you know, there's really no reason we shouldn't be doing this, and especially when we will give free IDs to those that may not have them, when we allow them to vote provisionally, even if they don't have an ID, mm-hmm. and we do work through the communication of getting a name and an address and giving them a provisional ballot, I don't see a good reason not to do this. And then, of course, in addition to that, it's overwhelmingly supported in polls and studies that have been conducted that the vast majority of the public wants a voter ID.
Yeah. Let me just briefly on that. Our lines are full already with people who want to talk about this. But even if the ID is issued free to those who maybe can't afford to go get their ID, critics of the of these types of laws say, constitutional or not, it just makes it harder for people to vote. And we shouldn't make it harder for people to vote, the harder for the elderly or the poor to vote.
Well, harder. I don't think it makes it harder at all. Not at all. And in the studies that are out there so far, the surveys that are out there so far, people are not finding that it's harder to vote. You know, can you find an anecdotal evidence? Can you find someone to say, you know, it's difficult or something? Sure. But statistically, no. That just doesn't hold water because there's the provisional ballot, because of what the clerks tell us. Our own Legislative Audit Bureau, which is very highly respected by members of both parties in the legislature, our audit bureau that looked at this and audited said the clerks need to get birth dates. You know, things need to happen. Our elections commission here in Wisconsin said, you know, we need this type of information. So, you know, for the naysayers or those that have some anecdotal evidence or statement of a reason not to do this, there are overwhelmingly reasons on the other side to do this.
Let's go to the phones. Tom in Sabisky starts us off. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. I'm not necessarily for this because I think they could be counterfeited. And the other thing is if you do start something like this, you're going to have the ability of people who come to the polls to get their voter ID at the first time, the first year or two of elections so that they can get it with some convenience. I don't think voter ID is going to be necessarily the cure-all to voter fraud if there is that much voter fraud.
Yeah, I didn't get your point there, Tom, about you have to get it early. What did you mean by that?
Oh, if they would make it so that you could get it when you come in to vote. You know, the people that are going to come in to vote at a particular, at each election site, they would have the ability to get their voter ID at that time. Oh. They'd have to have some proof of their residency and stuff, and they would get registered with their voter ID at that point.
Yeah, I'm still not quite sure what if you think that there's going to be people issuing photo IDs at the polls. That's not about to be a part of this, is it, Senator Lozick?
No, mm-hmm. no. I mean, most people in Wisconsin have a photo ID. You know, many have the driver's license, and that's going to be the common denominator. Those that don't have, for some reason, it's, you know, it's provided free, and there will be a lot of opportunity to get that. I don't think we'd want to put that on the poll workers, too.
Yeah.
I don't know that they'd really appreciate that.
What about his
Should
concern
communities
that this,
want to do that? Yeah. I'm sure they can. They can do that if they want. You know, if the clerks want to get involved in that, that's something they could do. But I don't know that it's necessary. I don't know that that be that much of a demand for it. That.
What about his concern that people who really want to break the law will just get a fake ID?
You know, the criminal element is out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, try as we may to have laws and all that type of thing, it certainly makes it harder for them, for someone to commit fraud. And, you know, that's what this is all about. So clearly, you know, I think his statement validates the need for it, that, you know, that people are going to break the law anyway and get a fake ID and that kinds of things. It would be pretty difficult to, you know, to do that. That's the whole reason for this, is to get away from that kind of fraud. Yeah. So, and then, you know, people that would do that, it would be easier to track them and catch them. I've had district attorneys tell me, well, of course it's going on, but there's no way to catch these folks. They show up, they vote, they're gone, it's reported to me. I have absolutely no evidence or a trail to go on. So I've had district attorneys tell me that they're, you know, fraud. Sure, it could be, you don't know, it could be out there rampant. I have people report it to me, but how in the world, you know, how do you track this? You can't.
Let me jump in. It's time to take a weather break, and then we'll continue taking your calls, your questions, your opinions for Mary Lazick, who is a Republican state senator from New Berlin, who says that Wisconsin should pass a voter ID law now that the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled it is constitutional. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, May the 5th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's the first Monday of the month, so that means Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo, will be in to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to hear your feedback. Also, special guest today, the new executive director of the Educational Communications Board, Gene Purcell. He joins us as well coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking this hour with Republican State Senator from New Berlin, Mary Lazick, about photo ID and whether Wisconsin should have a law on the books requiring all of us to show a picture ID at the polls before we cast our ballots. The U.S. Supreme Court said last week that a law like this in Indiana is constitutional. So now Senator Lazick and other Republicans are saying, hey, what's the problem? Let's pass one of these laws in Wisconsin as well. But as you know, Senator Lazick, Democrats oppose these bills, and so does Governor Doyle. He's vetoed a couple of them already. He believes it does disenfranchise the poor and elderly voters who may not have a photo ID. What do you want to see happen? I mean, some have called for an extraordinary session to get this thing going. Do you think that should happen?
Well, yeah. What I think, Joy, is we should have voter ID in Wisconsin, and we should have it yesterday. So what it takes to get that done at this point in time, yes, it's a special session. It's an extraordinary session. It's coming back to the table and voting on the bill. Now, there's been an immense amount of work, hearings, research, the groundwork, the homework on it is complete. So it's an issue of going in and voting. And
yeah.
And
do you support the proposed constitutional amendment? Should we change the Constitution and bypass the governor and put this to the voters as a question, as a way to put this law in the books?
Well, interestingly, Joy, that was the avenue that the legislature was moving toward. And, of course, what happened two sessions ago, the legislature, the Assembly, and the Senate was under Republican control and leadership, and both houses passed a voter ID bill and sent it to Governor Doyle, and he vetoed it, I believe, three times. We had two bills go over and the budget, and vetoed it three times. So then what the Republicans did is do a constitutional amendment, which goes through both houses of the legislature. It must go through two successive sessions of the legislature and then goes to the people and bypasses the governor's veto. So that was the approach that was taken. So it passed one session. Well, then this last session, the Senate Democrats controlled that house of the legislature, so they refused to take it up. The Assembly Republicans passed it. The Senate Democrats would not pass it. And Republicans in both houses unanimously supported voter ID. So it's clearly in Wisconsin, it's clearly become partisan in that all of the Republicans support it and that Democrat Governor Doyle and Democrat senators oppose it. So, of course, it becomes a hot political issue that Republicans feel very strongly about it and want it, and that the public overwhelmingly supports it, anything from, you know, 95% of Republicans down to two-thirds of Democrats support voter ID. So when the Democrat senators and Governor Doyle in the last session didn't support it and the constitutional amendment did not pass the last session of the legislature, the process has to start all over, which would mean in January of 2009, when the session starts again, that session of the legislature would have to approve a constitutional amendment, and then the next session after the 9-10 session, which is the 11-12, it have to be approved again then before it could go to the voters. So, you know, the prospects of that, it's a long haul, and who will control the two houses and the governorship? So I think the issue now, it's so overwhelmingly supported by the public, by the Supreme Court, by the Federal Elections Commission, that, you know, it's to convince Doyle not to veto it and for him to call for it, and that would put, you know, the pressure on the Senate Democrats.
Let me get some more callers in. Mike in Portage is with us now. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
How you doing this morning?
Pretty good. I
wholeheartedly support this here. I mean, this is a complete no-brainer. We need something like this. You know, you're required to have a proof positive ID for so many things, and you need a driver's license to rent a video from the grocery store. Now, why in the world we wouldn't be requiring people to show some proof positive ID to vote, I don't understand.
Yeah. I'll give you one of the arguments, Mike. You know, it's not a constitutional right to rent a video. It is to vote.
Okay. Now, here's another argument. The Constitution of the United States does not guarantee the right to vote to anybody.
Yeah.
It is not in the Constitution. A lot of people don't understand that, but that, you're right. You do not have a right to vote. All right? The Constitution says you can't bar people from voting if the states allow the privilege to vote, but it doesn't guarantee anyone the right to vote.
Yeah. Senator Lozick.
Excellent caller. Mm-hmm. Excellent caller. And as he points out, you need a photo ID for a lot of things. And yesterday's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there was an editorial in there, someone that wrote in and was, you know, most chagrined about the governor's opposition to it. But yet we passed the bill and the governor signed it into law requiring that these simple cold medications, you must have an ID for that. Well, I think there's a lot of people, and not to mention the senior citizens and et cetera, that need cold medications. Well, they can't get something for their very basic health needs without presenting this ID. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the whole argument about that with meth and meth labs and things along those lines. But the idea of needing an ID for a simple cold medication for someone who, you know, has no interest in meth labs and never will, you know, a healthy, well-abiding citizen, but they got to have this ID to get a cold medicine, you know, and many other things that I've heard. You know, I got to have an ID to get on the golf course. I have to have an ID to rent a video. I have to have an ID for, you know, just many, many things now. There isn't too much we don't do anymore that needs identification. Yeah. So,
thanks to Mike for the call. Linda in Sawyer, Minnesota. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I'm trying to get an ID now, and I had to go from where I live to another city to get my birth certificate because my papers were lost. So then I go to another city to get my photo ID, and they tell me that I have to get a new Social Security number because my name wasn't changed on it when I got divorced. But then I have to get... And that's in another city. Mm-hmm. And then I have to go to another city because they want me to get copies of my divorce papers. And this is taking a lot of money and time. And I'm thinking, well, for me, it's really hard to do it. But if I were older and I have to get a ride from somebody to be able to do this, it's really hard and frustrating.
Yeah, it's not so easy to get the photo ID if you don't have the wherewithal, Senator Lozick.
That's very interesting. And what the lady describes as she's describing her frustration and getting, you know, whatever, I don't know her circumstances there as to why, you know, these things are happening, but there must be some reason. But that gives me an even stronger, you know, position that people have to do this. And I think about, you know, people that want to do things in life, milestones, like you get married. Well, you have to have your birth certificate to get married, and you have to produce, you know, this documentation and get a license and all those kinds of things. Well, you know, that takes a bit of a process and a bit of a rigmarole, if you will, to do things like that. Well, you know, to vote,
Right. I guess
to not produce your driver's license, mm-hmm. which you probably have in your pocket, to not be able to get a provisional. Now, this lady who has all these difficulties, she can go in and vote today on a provisional ballot. She doesn't have to go through these hoops in other cities and this, that, and the other thing. She can walk right in there, vote on the provisional ballot, and you know, but follow up with documentation.
Right. She has to eventually have that photo ID to for that provisional ballot to mean anything, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda, for the call. I'm going to try to fit one more in. Mike in Mindoro, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, the state and austerity moves has closed DOT offices. We have counties in western Wisconsin that don't even have a DOT office to issue these ideas. What about the Amish? And they're trying to get their photo IDs taken care of. And those who can't drive had to drive to a neighboring county, and then they get there and express the same frustrations that the previous caller had.
But only a minute to go.
You know, you bring up some good points. Mm-hmm. There's people that, for example, object to having their photo taken, mm-hmm. that it's part of their culture, their belief that they don't have a photographic image. And there's provisions for that in the bill that we did pass the legislature. We had a lot of provisions in there. We looked out front for people that have difficulties or could have difficulties and listened, especially in the hearings around the state. We listened to all the detail of these things, people in nursing homes, people who don't have a driver's license anymore. And we have provisions in the bill for each and every one of those. And if there's something out there we haven't thought of, I'm sure it can be, you know, built into the bill. But we really did look at this for a number mm-hmm. of years, have an immense amount of testimony. And the clerks, you know, the clerks are just the best resource for that because they've seen it all in Wisconsin. So the clerks can tell us, oh, yes, there's people, you know, of this, that, or the other issue that we need to account for, because these clerks who have done this for years and years and years and have seen everything are just such a wealth of knowledge in terms of crafting that bill.
And they had a major part
at the table in putting the bill together.
We'll have to leave it there for now. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Mary Lazick, Republican State Senator from New Berlin. Thanks to Karen Prager and to Michelle Kofel for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.